Well, it's good to be back with you again, everyone. It is Basic Gospel, and with Bob Christopher and Andrew Partley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to the broadcast. What's on your mind and your heart today? Whether it's a Bible question or a social or personal issue, we want to talk with you about it right now on Basic Gospel. And to do that, the phone lines are wide open at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada. We would love to hear from you right now. 844-322-2742. But call now, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew Farley joins us today, and we've got an exciting broadcast as we continue to talk about how to be clean and close to God. And all of that is from God's initiative. He took the initiative in Christ Jesus. He reconciled us to himself. He removed all the barriers. It's this grace that draws us near to God. And once we respond in faith, we are made new. Christ comes to live inside of us. He establishes that relationship. So we're close in both location and relationship. You can't get any closer than that. But we have a lot of issues in our day-to-day lives. And as a matter of fact, today I was talking to a lady on the phone, and she asked this question: why do I keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again? And when you do that, you get a little frustrated with yourself. Then you start to think, well, I wonder what God thinks. If I'm frustrated with myself, he obviously has to be frustrated. Is he mad at me? Is he disappointed in me? And with all that thinking comes this idea that you are far away from God, that you are moving in the wrong direction. He's probably got his back turned on you. It's often that Romans 7 trap: the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do anyway. And there is a solution. There is victory. And that's learning that we are dead to sin and alive to Jesus Christ. But, Andrew, how do we practically live that out? How do we practically apply that in our day-to-day lives and rest in the fact that as believers, we are as close to God as we possibly can be?
Yeah, I think we're going to end up with a works righteousness one way or another if we don't engage in this grace thing, Bob. You know, I look at the amount of struggle I have, I look at the amount of difficulty, and then I determined that that somehow impacts God's opinion of me, and it's just not true. I mean, God is functioning with me on a different plane. He is relating to me as if I've never sinned a day in my life. So whether I struggle one time or 1,000 times, that's not what God uses as criteria to relate to me. And when I realize the criterion is the cross and resurrection, that it's over, that all of that criteria has been met, then it's almost like I'm jumping from one system to another. I'm jumping from the deserving system and the merit system and the earning system over to the receiving system and the freely given system. And when I recognize those are two different opposing philosophies, then I can say, Lord, I'm really struggling in this area, and yet I know it doesn't determine your opinion of me. I'm really hurting, I'm really seeking, I'm really needing help, and yet I know that that means that all the more you're with me and in me and for me and counseling me. So, you know, this is Paul's battle with the law, and that's one system. You could title this, I Fought the Law, and the Law Won. Yeah. That's what this is about. But when the law wins, we're not supposed to try again. We're not supposed to try harder. The law actually wins in order to drive us to grace. And, you know, Bob, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. Grace upon grace, recognizing clean and close with God is something we have absolutely free.
Absolutely. I know in my own life, I struggled with that. I kept falling to the same sin day in and day out. Every night I was like, here I am again, Lord. I did it again, and I'm not going to do it tomorrow, and please forgive me, and, you know, please help me. And my whole mind was just consumed with that particular sin and trying to rid myself of that. And I was trying through human effort. And that is not the way of grace. And I think that's where many people are in their Christian lives. They're going about it the entirely wrong way. They are saved by grace, grateful for that, and now they're trying to perfect themselves through human effort. And as Paul said, drop that like a hot potato and recognize that you are in God's favor. God's Spirit is alive, living in you. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And that's the good news of this new life that we have in Jesus.
Absolutely. Well, Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for being with us for this edition, everybody. We'd love to hear from you. The phone line is wide open at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. And, guys, you both mentioned clean and close as you introduced the program today. And, friends, as our thanks for your support, we want to send you Andrew's 8-message video. It is called Clean and Close. It's a video series. And in this series, Andrew brings encouragement to believers who may be feeling distant from God, may be feeling unclean and unworthy. But through this series, Andrew wants you to know that by God's grace, we've been qualified. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been made clean and close. We're sure that you'll enjoy learning from Andrew through his passion for the grace message. So when you get a chance, drop by basicgospel.net and make a donation to help us keep the good news coming. And we'll say thanks for your support by sending you Clean and Close. It's our gift of appreciation to you for supporting Basic Gospel. Again, just click donate at basicgospel.net.
And Bob, that is one fine series. It is well done, well produced.
It's clean and close.
Yes, indeed. Andrew does a marvelous job. And if you've listened to Andrew for very, very long, you know that he's a man that brings the Word of God with clarity, with passion, and conviction. And I think as you listen, you will learn very quickly what God has done for you in Christ Jesus.
Yes, indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody, and again, thanks for joining us. A guy's had a very interesting question from Josh. He says, if someone has had a genuine transformation in Jesus Christ, can they still get punished for a crime they committed maybe 20 or more years ago? He says, I work with a lot of men and women in recovery programs, and they confess a lot of stuff. I'd love to know how to answer this question.
Well, I guess there's a statute of limitations that would vary perhaps from state to state on crimes. Bob, I'm not really an expert on those statutes and whether or not someone can be punished or not. I think ultimately, though, there comes some sort of relief when you're able to tell someone about your struggle and tell someone what you've gone through. And sometimes that might mean taking some risks. I'm thinking of a story of a gentleman named Rick in South Bend, Indiana, as I used to go into prisons pretty regularly there. And he had committed a crime, and it was quite some time ago, and he was wrestling and battling. And after he came to know his total forgiveness, he decided to just come out with it because he was saying, if God is for me, then who can be against me? And his choice was transparency in that case. Now, if we're talking about legal matters, that's out of my expertise. I don't know if you know anything about statute of limitations, but ultimately I would say, from a spiritual vantage point, that we want to confess our struggles to one another, confess our sins, not to be forgiven, not to get God's favor, but because we're meant for community. And if we're going through something, we don't want to be Lone Ranger Christians and, hanging on to some secret for 10 or 20 or 30 years. That can take its toll sure. in the mind, and it can be really stressful. And so I would encourage him to at least be sharing with a trusted Christian brother. And then as far as the laws go and trials, I mean, my understanding is you're going to need witnesses and prosecution and all that stuff. And so, whether that's brought against a person or not is up to other factors and other people. But there is a tremendous relief in being transparent with other believers that we can trust.
Absolutely. And I think it's important for us to understand as well that as far as Christ is concerned and as far as us being in Christ, the Bible is clear. There is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. So there is already a freedom from the punishment of sin. There's a freedom from the power of sin that we now have through the work of God's Spirit inside of us. And at some point in the future, when we get our resurrected bodies, there's going to be a freedom from the very presence of sin. So all of that has already been accomplished for us in Christ. But that doesn't mean that we may not suffer consequences here, like the question talks about. There could be legal consequences. The laws of the land will do something, but somebody may be found guilty of a particular crime, and they may go to jail. But if they're in Christ, there is still freedom for them in Christ, isn't there?
Yes, that's right. And so it's back to this, if God is for me, who can be against me idea. Having no condemnation gives us courage to be real and be transparent. Now, look, we don't want to be foolish. We don't want to be running out on the street shouting all kinds of things. We live in the United States of America, and we have the privilege of being able to have legal representation. We can use wisdom and discernment and self-control. We're not talking about just going out and blabbing everything you've ever done just so you can maybe feel better for 5 minutes. That will literally last 5 minutes, and then the enemy will be back to accusing you, saying you haven't done it enough. You need to confess more. You need to tell more people. And then, you know, all of that is a pipe dream. I think ultimately we have to be led by the Spirit in who we tell and how we tell it. And it's not for the purpose of cleansing. That's the blood of Jesus. He's already done that. It's not for the purpose of righteousness. That's the resurrection. Jesus has already done that for us in making us forgiven and righteous. So it's simply about being truthful, and it's simply about being led by the Spirit as God gives us opportunities to find relief, telling another person about it who can then encourage us in the love and grace of Jesus Christ.
That's exactly right. Great answer, Andrew, and we certainly appreciate that question.
Yeah.
We have this question that's coming to us from one of our YouTube viewers, Everyday Grace Alden. That's his handle, and I love that. But he says this: if a person seeks for a prayer for prosperity, should I instead share with him about being content in Christ? And he says, thank you for the program. So it's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is a great one, because, you know, godliness is of great gain. We hear this in 1 Timothy 6. Paul writes, godliness with contentment is great gain. But let's remember, we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. And so if we have food and clothing, we should be content with that. Paul also talks about those who are of depraved mind, and they're saying that godliness is a way to get to financial gain. Well, that message is messed up. I mean, that's a warped, twisted message, that if you put your faith in Christ, he's going to make you wealthy, he's going to make you healthy. Look, we live in a fallen world, and there are loads, millions literally, of sincere Christians who have their faith in Christ, and yet they suffer from cancer or heart trouble or even a chest cold every now and then. And, you know, all of these guys that are teaching this garbage about guaranteed health, they all end up in a coffin. I mean, they all end up dead eventually. And that's because that sort of doctrine, nobody can activate it. Nobody can really work with it. It's false doctrine. And, you know, there's a reason we go to heaven. There's a reason we get resurrection bodies. We have to put our confidence in the message of Jesus and what he actually says, not what some person proposes about health and wealth. So I think it's worth definitely, if someone is praying about wealth, for example, we want to talk to them about contentment in Christ, and maybe even pray in that direction, that they would have the eyes to see how they can find that contentment, whether I have little or whether I have plenty. My contentment is in Christ, Paul says, and Bob, that's real.
Yes, it is real. And one of the things that I think is important for us to understand, this prosperity message is it is popular out there. I mean, many people are teaching it. Many people are being attracted to it. They're being sucked into it by the lies. I look at it, you know, you look at casinos out in Las Vegas and all the various other places. Why do people continue to go into those knowing that it's rigged, that the house is going to win? Well, they keep going in because they think maybe today is their day. Maybe it's going to happen for them and they can walk out wealthy. And I think the same is true for people when it comes to the prosperity gospel. They think that maybe if they just sow the seed right this time, maybe if they just sow enough, then it's going to come back to them. So they keep being sucked into that, to that lie. And it's so prevalent out there. And I think we just need to warn listeners about that prosperity gospel and to help them recognize that it's there. They're going to encounter it. They're going to encounter people that are involved in it, and to act with some discernment.
Yes, yes. And, you know, that goes for the health as well. Look, if the folks on TV that are saying these sorts of things, if those healings were authentic, and if they could just name it and claim it at their will with their decision and their timing, then they really should be up at the local hospitals, going up and down the hallways. They should be attending to all of the patients that they can find. But the reality is that, yes, there are miracles, and God heals and God does miracles, but they're called miracles for a reason, because they're done by the Lord in the Lord's way and in the Lord's timing. They're not done on cue, and we're never told to be barking orders at God, which is essentially what this becomes. It's almost like he's a divine slot machine, and if you just pour in enough quarters of faith or quarters of money, then you pull down the handle and out comes your blessing or out comes your healing. And then people are frustrated. Well, maybe I didn't put enough quarters in. Well, maybe I didn't pull the handle hard enough. Well, maybe I didn't do it right. I didn't say it right. And that's where the bondage really comes in. At the end of the day, we have to know that God is good, and he calls the shots, and he's in charge, and we are not. And so we have to be open-handed about our pocketbook and about our health. These things come and go. We live in a fallen world, and our contentment, no matter what, our contentment is Jesus himself.
Absolutely. Great answer, guys. Thank you for that. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis. And friends, this is Basic Gospel United in message, purpose, and mission. And friends, that's the theme of the United Conference coming up exactly 1 month from today with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. And Andrew, I know it's going to be a deep dive into the grace of God. Just how deep are we going to dive?
Well, we're going deep, Bob. We're going as deep as we can go. It's going to be great because of the community and the ability to interact with our listeners and people that have been following and now attending, some for the first time, this event. So not only is it going to be sharing from the scriptures and breaking open God's word and really celebrating Christ, it's going to be an opportunity for those of you who join us to bring your life issue or bring your important question that's been nagging you, and for us to be able to, you know, Bob, just to apply God's word to a situation. It's what we love to do. It's what we do every day. We'll be doing it during this special weekend, and it's going to be a great opportunity to meet a lot of new people as well.
Yes, indeed. Well, friends, you can get all the information if you visit basicgospel.net/united. We would love for you to be here, and it's going to be a fabulous time filled with the grace of God.
Yes, indeed. And here's a question, Andrew, from Linda, who's watching us on YouTube as well. She asked this based on John 10:26. Does Jesus choose who his sheep will be? And it's based on this verse, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock.
Yeah. Well, you know, we look at a verse like this, and ultimately we have to see that it's a both and. I mean, we don't believe because we're not his flock, and anybody who's not his flock is not believing. That's true now as well. I mean, who is it that believes? It's the people that are of his flock. Who does not believe? Well, it's the ones who are not of his flock. This doesn't mean anything about predestination or some predetermined fate for each individual. This is simply saying that those who are his sheep listen to his voice, and those who don't listen to his voice. So it's simply a description of the unbeliever versus the believer. It doesn't have any bearing on our ability to hear the gospel, believe it, receive Christ. I mean, Jesus has made that offer clear. When the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all men unto himself. God wants none to perish, the scripture says. He wants everyone to believe. Romans says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So we have to watch out, Bob, for folks that might tell us a single verse and then put it in a framework of, well, do you see now God has picked those for heaven and picked those for hell, and nobody really has a choice. We're all just automatons. We're all just going to be forced into believing even against our will. I mean, God doesn't work that way. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, which includes patience and gentleness, he's just not going down the city street saying, I'll take you, but not you, and I'll take you, but not you. This new covenant invitation is beautiful because it truly is for the Jew and for the Gentile, and there's no partiality with God. It's a beautiful invitation for anyone and everyone.
Yes, indeed. And I love this particular passage, this conversation that Jesus is having with some of the religious leaders. They were looking for a Messiah, and Jesus basically said to them, I'm the guy you're looking for. I and the Father are one. And at that, they picked up stones to stone him. Why? Because they weren't listening to his voice. I mean, there's been this testimony in the Old Testament from God the Father about Jesus Christ the Son. He's been giving that testimony since the very beginning of time, and he unfolded that story in more and more detail throughout the Old Testament. And now Jesus shows up, the one that was with God in the beginning, that was God, and now he became flesh and blood. He's standing right in front of them, and he's speaking the same testimony that his Father was saying, and yet they refuse to listen to him. They're not hearing his voice, that indeed he is the one. They're rejecting Jesus. And that's, he is the point of belief. He is the point of contention, so to speak. So yes, you're either going to receive him or you're going to reject him. If you receive him, you're part of the flock. If you reject him, you belong to another flock that is not his at all. It's as simple as that, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, and the gospel would speak into this and say, put down your stones. You picked up stones to stone him. Put down your stones and believe in him. And if they had chosen that, Bob, well, that would been theirs to choose. I mean, God is calling us to him, anyone and everyone. It's an open invitation, a beautiful invitation for all.
Absolutely. Great answer, guys. As always, this is the kind of answer you get every day on Basic Gospel Truth from the Word of God. And friends, we're glad you're here to hear it today. Remember, you are the reason that we're on the air every weekday, bringing the good news of the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. You are the reason we do this, and you, through your financial support, are the reason we're able to be here. So thanks to everyone who stands with us to help us keep the good news coming. Donate now or anytime when you visit our website, basicgospel.net. Big prominent donate link right on the homepage. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. Remember, too, that the listener line is always open for those of you who can't call during the live broadcast. If you have questions about a Bible passage or about the Christian life in general, well, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742, and we'll be glad to discuss it on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that number, 844-322-2742, and as I always say, we love hearing from you, our listeners. So use that line, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.